It's just comedy.
The Jell-O Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra.
Thank you, thank you. This is Groucho Marx. Well, here I am, stepping in over my head again.
I'm with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Folks, this is just as new to me as it is to you.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, what an original greeting.
Hello and welcome to another week of comedy, funny, haha, on Dwayne Old Time Radio. One thing, please subscribe to my channel if you enjoy what I'm doing. Subscribing is 100% free. Also, one more thing, if you have a few seconds or 1 minute, please leave a review on your preferred podcast service, especially if you're on Apple, Spotify, or really just your preferred podcast service. Thank you, and hope you enjoy. Welcome to a new week of comedy, funny, ha ha. Two episodes by Mr. Benny this week. Jack Benny is the program for the week. That means it's the end of the month. Dive Bomber from October 26, 1941. And then we have the first episode where Grape Nuts was the sponsor of the program, titled First Grape Nuts Flake Show, October 4th, 1942. So almost a year later.
The Jell-O Program, brought to you by Jell-O and Jell-O Pudding, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Are You Ready? Ladies and gentlemen, have you a treat in store for you? What a grand surprise the moment you discover Jell-O's new locked-in flavor. Never until now has any gelatin dessert been able to bring you so much delightful goodness. Because up until now, gelatin desserts constantly faded in flavor while waiting to be used, and brought you only a shadow of their original richness. But that's all been changed. Today, Jell-O's tempting, tantalizing flavor is locked right into the tiny Jell-O particles, where time can't get at it to steal it away. No matter how long Jell-O remains in the package, it retains its luscious flavor to the very last. Now, you be the judge. Open a package of Jell-O. Notice the absence of any heavy, fruity aroma, the usual sign of escaping flavor. Then dissolve Jell-O, and presto, there's your flavor, all of it. The full-strength flavor of Jell-O, as rich and vivid as the day it was locked into Jell-O's delicate crystal-like particles. So try Jell-O, now made better than ever by Jell-O's new locked-in process. The flavor never goes away. We put it in, and it's there to stay. Played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, next Friday, October 31st, is Halloween and will be celebrated by gay parties throughout the land.
Yes, sir. We'll play games and everything.
So tonight, we bring you a man who always loses his bridge bobbing for apples, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking, and Don. That was a very funny introduction. Losing my bridge, bobbing for apples. Did you think of that all by yourself?
Yes, I did, Jack. It was my own little brainchild.
Well, it certainly is clever. I mean, the way you expose all my faults and my defects.
People enjoy it, too.
Yes, yes, they do. You know, Don, they have a program out here where a man sits by himself in a small room and plays phonograph record all night long. He's called Hank, the night watchman.
Uh-huh.
Well, one more introduction like that, and you're going to be known as Don, the Decca Day Man. In other words, I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame with your contract. By the way, Don, getting back to Halloween... Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. How are you?
Getting back to Halloween... Oh, fine, thanks. Getting back to Halloween...
You didn't have to answer me, you know.
What's that for? Coming in so mad. What's the matter with you today?
Well, you know that new usher they got at the reception desk? That tall, good-looking fellow?
Yeah?
When I came in just now, he winked at me.
Oh, a fresh guy, huh?
He's not going to take me out tonight.
Well, I don't blame you.
I asked him, but he's busy.
All right, so much for romance. Now, Don, what were we,
Oh, you mentioned something about Halloween.
Oh yes. Are you going out with us next Friday night and have some fun? You know, ring doorbells and everything?
Oh, I don't know. You don't have the excitement nowadays that you used to have on Halloween.
I guess you're right.
Well, I remember back in Denver when I was a kid, we used to have a time of our lives.
Denver? You should have seen the way we celebrated Halloween in a little country town like Waukegan. The old-fashioned pranks we used to play. But kids don't have fun like that anymore.
What do you want, plumbing or fun?
Oh, guys. Guys, Don, the things I used to do in those days... I'll never forget one Halloween. You know, I was a little boy then, and I took the chop suey sign off a Chinese restaurant and nailed it over the front door of our house. Oh, boy.
The chop suey sign, huh? Was your father mad when he saw it?
No, he just hung a tail on his derby and went into business. That's how my sister Florence came to be known as Lotus Blossom. At some restaurant, chopped liver and suey. And then the following year... Oh, hello, Phil. Are you coming out with us Halloween?
Yeah, Jackson, but I can't meet you until after 9 o'clock. I got to go to night school.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what, Phil. We'll meet you in front of the school about 9:15. How's that?
Okay, I'll bring my long pants with me and slip them on.
What? Now, wait a minute, Phil. Don't tell me you wear short pants to night school.
Look, Jackson, I'm in third grade, and I'm going to dress like it.
Oh, by all means. Third grade, eh? At the rate you're going, you'll get your Social Security and diploma on the same night. No kidding, Phil. Why don't you give up night school?
Nothing doing. I don't want to be a maroon.
That's moron. Look, Phil, just wear your short pants all the time. Say, I wonder if Dennis wants to come along Friday. Where is the kid, anyway?
I called him yesterday, and his mother told me that he's been asleep ever since we got back from New York.
Well, I'll be darned. See, I didn't know the kid was so lazy.
What do you mean, lazy? You made Dennis share your berth on the train, then you snored so loud he couldn't rest for 4 nights.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Mary. It's impossible for me to snore because I recently had my adenoids removed. I had an operation.
Some operation. Rochester hasn't even got a license.
Oh, stop. You thought he couldn't build me a barbecue pit either. You should see it. Say, Don, speaking of our trip, I meant to ask you, is your wife still mad at me for putting you both in one berth?
Well, I thought she was, Jack, but strangely enough, as I was leaving the house this morning, she handed me a cake.
A cake?
Yes, she baked it especially for you.
Especially for me, eh?
I'll give it to you right after the broadcast.
Well, especially for me, eh? Well, thanks very much, Don, but you see, I'm on a diet right now, and I have to cut out fattening poison. I mean, cake. Thanks a lot, though. Huh?
Oh, Jack, don't be silly. Mrs. Wilson wouldn't poison you. She's one of the nicest girls I ever met.
Listen, Mary, I saw a show in New York called Arsenic and Old Lace, and two of the sweetest old ladies you ever laid your eyes on bumped off a dozen men. 12 of them.
Yes, but they gave them elderberry wine.
What you can do with wine, you can do with cake. I ain't eating it, sister.
Oh, Jackson, don't act like a baby.
All right, Phil, let's drop the cake and have a band number. Tell Peggy thanks, Don. Well, how about a number, Phil? What are you going to play?
Now, wait a minute, Jackson. You won't laugh if I tell you, will you?
No. What's it going to be?
Port and Peasant Overture.
Are you kidding? Well, let's have it. I may be sorry I didn't eat that cake before this is over.
Hello,
That was a special arrangement of Poet and Peasant Overture played by Phil Harris and his peasants. There can't be a poet in that bunch. That number was okay, Phil.
You liked it, huh, Jackson?
Yes, but I have one suggestion to make. If you're going to play a number like that every week, I think I'll have to augment your orchestra.
Augment?
Yes.
Tell him what it means before he puts on his short pants again.
Phil, augment means to increase or enlarge. For instance, you ought to add a bassoon to your orchestra and a French horn and a harp.
Sorry, Jackson, the harp's out.
What do you mean?
I had one once and all the boys hung their socks on it.
Oh, well, if you had a bassoon, you could hit them over the head for doing it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our first play of the new season, we are going to... Well, look who's here.
Hiya, Mr. Benny. Hello, everybody.
Well, you certainly look rested now, Dennis.
Boy, oh boy, do I feel good. You want a raffle, Miss Livingston?
Dennis, behave yourself.
Let him alone. I'll give him a toe hold so fast he won't know what hit him.
Mary, put your coat back on. Be a lady, will you?
On this clam bake?
How can you call this program a clam bake when Phil just played poet and peasant? Now, let's settle down. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as I started to announce, tomorrow, October 27th, is Navy Day. So tonight, in honor of this occasion, we will present our version of that stirring drama of the Naval Air Force, that epic of heroism, that sensational Warner Brothers production, Dive Bomber. Thank you, Dive.
You're a bomber.
Now, in this sketch, I will play the part of the young flight surgeon as portrayed on the screen by dashing, daring Errol Flynn, which happens to be the most important role in the picture. Now, let's see.
But, Jack, I saw the picture, and I thought that Fred McMurray as the test pilot had the most important part.
Who? McMurray?
Yes, he did some very heroic things. In fact, the audience applauded him the night I saw it.
They did? Oh. Well, Phil... Then you'll be Errol Flynn, and I'm going to be Fred McMurray.
I'd never drop Flynn that fast.
Never mind. Now, it's all set. Phil is Errol Flynn, I'm Fred McMurray, and Dennis, you're going to be Ralph Bellamy.
Oh, boy, he had the best part of the whole darn picture.
Who? Bellamy?
Yeah, he was a great doctor, and the whole story was built around him.
It was? Well, now, let's see... Phil, you're going to be Errol Flynn. That's settled. Dennis, you'll be Fred McMurray, and I'll be Ralph Bellamy. Yes, that'll work out fine. Now, let's see.
Say, Jack.
Yeah?
If you ask me, Wayne Morris stole the whole picture.
What? Who? Wayne Morris?
Yeah, he was terrific.
No kidding? Well, fellas, it's all settled. I'm going to be Wayne Morris. Yeah.
Good. He wasn't even in the picture.
Wait a minute. What's going on here? I'm going to play Ralph Bellamy, and that's the end of it. Mary, you're going to be a nurse. And Don, you're going to be the B-19, so stick your arms out. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this play will go on immediately after a song by Dennis Day. Go ahead, Dennis. Hold it a minute. Come in. Oh, hello.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Can I see you about that now?
Yes, wait out in the hall. I'll be right with you. Excuse me, fellas.
Say, that little boy looks familiar.
Well, don't you recognize him, Don? That's the kid who was on the train with us last week.
The one that said he was going to be a gag man for Bob Hope?
Yeah, now Jack is trying to sign him up first. I'm going to open up the door and listen.
Sure, kid. I know Bob Hope's a nice guy. But why do you want to work for him? In the first place, he's very tough to write for.
What are you talking about? I can write 1,000 gags about his nose alone.
You think that's something? Listen, kid, I've got rheumatism and flat feet. And you see this bridge?
Yeah?
Look, it comes out. Why, I'm a cinch to write for. Now, what do you say?
Well, what's your offer?
Now, listen, kid. You're young and you've got your health. Now, look, money we won't talk about.
the heck we won't.
This kid's going to be tough, but he's clever. Now, look, son, by the way, what's your name?
Barton. Belly Laugh Barton.
Well, now, look, Belly. Forget Hope. Forget Hope, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you $37.50 a week. And a case of Jell-O every Saturday night. How does that strike you?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to talk it over with my manager.
What do you have to talk it over for? Look, kid, Jell-O is good for you. It's delicious. And not only that, this year it's got that new locked-in flavor.
Locked-in, huh?
Yeah. The flavor never goes away. We put it in, and it's there to stay. Now, sign here. Right here on the dotted line. Come on, kid.
Okay, let me out of the corner.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, it's a deal, kid. See you at my house tomorrow morning. Come for breakfast and bring some coffee cake. So long.
Goodbye. Here he comes, boys. Act nonchalant.
Well, sorry to keep you waiting, fellas. Okay, Dennis, let's have your song. Belly Laugh Barton. Gee, I hope he lives up to his name.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart. I have but one desire, and that one is you. No other will do. I've lost all ambition for worldly acclaim. I just want to be the one you love, and with your admission that you feel the same, while I've reached the goal I'm dreaming of, believe me, I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your
was I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire, sung by Dennis Day. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our feature attraction of the evening, our version of that sensational motion picture drama, Dive Bomber. And I'd like to announce that this production will be done entirely in Technicolor.
How can you do Technicolor on the radio?
We're on the red and blue networks with a green cat. And Belly Laugh better do better than that one. Now, the opening scene is the laboratory of the famous flight surgeon, Dr. Bellamy, who at the moment is testing the reflexes of that ace aviator, Dennis McMurray. Curtain. Music. Schneider test shows pilot fatigue, not far from the chronic line. Oscillograph negative. What does the Ralph from Saint-Saëns test show? What does it show, nurse?
Pretty bad, doctor. Look at this chart.
I don't like it. This man's flying days are over. He's through. Washed up.
You mean I'm not going to be an ace anymore?
To us, you'll always be an ace. Now,
see. What else is there to check on this man?
Why don't you test his knee, jerk?
That's why don't you test his knee, jerk? I did that already. Well, Lieutenant McMurray, I'm sorry, but there's nothing I can do. You're grounded.
No, no, you can't do this to me. I belong in the air. I've given the best years of my life to aviation. When I black out, I want to be up there flying. Understand? Flying!
I knew I should have taken that part.
But I'm not beefing. This had to come sooner or later. It's just tough to step out of the ring when the main event may be ready to start. It's tough, I tell you. It's tough!
No, I had to be Ralph Bellamy, stand around like a dope. Oh, well, I motivate the story, anyway.
You gotta give me another chance, Doc. Do you hear? Because of your...
All right, I'll give you another chance. Stop acting. Get out of here. Next time I'll see a picture before I cast it.
Snap out of it, Doctor, and let's get on with these experiments.
Oh, that's right. What am I working on today?
You're trying to perfect a transparent parachute so you can get suntan on the way down.
No, that'll never be a success. Come in. Oh, hello, Commander Wilson.
Good morning, Dr. Bellamy. I want to congratulate you on your experiments in counteracting aeroembolism.
Thanks. What? Oh, yes. I expect to have the arrows all embled out before long. By the way, Commander, have you located an assistant for me?
Oh, yes, Dr. Bellamy. I've discovered a brilliant young graduate of Harvard Medical School. He's waiting in the room right now, in the waiting room.
Good.
Come in, Dr. Flynn.
How do you do?
Dr. Flynn, Dr. Bellamy. Dr. Bellamy, Dr. Flynn.
Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Mr. Hyde, while I try.
Please, Miss Crossmere. Please.
Hey, she's not bad.
I'm pleased to meet you, Dr. Flynn. So you're a Harvard man, eh?
Yes, who's the tomato?
Dr. Flynn, Commander Wilson tells me...
Yes, I believe I have solved the problem of counteracting aeroembolism. Mm-hmm. For instance, why don't we make a bell?
Well, don't you...
Pneumatic, inflated before the dive. But that would compress the upper part of the body and stop the blood from leaving the brain. It can't miss, I tell you, it can't miss.
I had to be Bellamy. The most important part, play it. Oh, well.
That's a brilliant thought, Dr. Flynn. You'll get a medal for this.
Oh, I don't want a medal. I'm not doing this for any paltry reward from human beings. Consider it my contribution to the progress of aviation.
Contribution. I knew he'd louse it up. Now, look, Commander Wilson, Flynn's idea seems to be practical, but I've got a better one.
What is it, Dr. Bellamy?
I'll demonstrate. Hand me a pencil, Miss Crossmere.
Here you are.
Thanks.
Don't thank me. I'm not doing this for any paltry reward from human beings. I gave you that pencil because it'll stop the blood from leaving the brain.
A pencil?
What do I care about a pencil? I've got dozens of them. Dozens of them, do you hear? And consider it my contribution to the progress of aviation.
Even Crossmere has a better part. Well, come on, Dr. Flynn. That bell of yours is a good idea. Let's get busy on it.
Okay, Dr. Bellamy. Calling Dr. Kildare. Dr. Kildare, report to surgery.
That's the other feature. This is dive bomber.
Oh, pardon me.
Come on, Flynn. We'll make that bell, or my name ain't... How high are we, McMurray?
26,000 feet and going up.
Good. How does the belt feel?
It's a little tight around the ankles.
Well, pull it up. I tell you, Mac, this experiment is going to make me famous.
Well, Dr. Flynn invented it. Why didn't you bring him along? Ouch!
I'll twist your other wrist if you keep that up. How high are we now?
30,000 feet. You better put your oxygen mask on.
I took it home. I'm going to wear it Halloween. But I feel pretty... Uh-oh.
What's the matter, Doc?
I don't know. I felt a little dizzy there for a second. But I'm all right. How high are we now?
31,000.
31,000, eh? I gotta snap out of it. I feel kind of drowsy all of a sudden.
Doc, what's the matter?
I don't know. I guess it's the altitude.
This is altitude kind of got me. Belt, pneumatic. It'll stop the blood from leaving the contribution. Yeah.
Doc, wake up!
Dr. Flynn, Dr. Bellamy. Dr. Bellamy, Dr. Flynn.
Well, here we go again. Now come the whistles. Gee, he looks so peaceful, I think I'll count sheep and join him. One, two, three, four. No, that's an eagle. Four, five, six, seven.
Well, next week brings Halloween. And Halloween brings fun and festivities, gay parties that call for good things to eat, like the grand dessert I'm going to tell you about right now. It's a real party treat, and yet an easy dessert to make. All it takes is a can of peach halves and a package of orange Jell-O. And when you have those two items, you're all ready to go. Just dissolve the orange Jell-O in hot water, as you usually do. Then fill six wide sherbet glasses, about one-third full, and chill. When the Jell-O is firm, place a marshmallow in the center of each glass and cover with a peach half, rounded side up. Pour the remaining Jell-O over the peaches and chill until firm. And there you have an ideal treat for Halloween, a swell dessert that will make your Halloween guests say, "You surely know how to give a party." Get a can of peach halves and a package of orange Jell-O tomorrow and make up this delicious combination. Juicy golden peaches covered with shimmering orange Jell-O. But remember, when you buy Jell-O, be sure to look for the big red letters on the box. Because only Jell-O's new locked-in process gives you all the flavor, always.
Tomorrow, when you make out your grocery list, put down Jell-O and write under it, write Jell-O pudding. Jell-O vanilla, Jell-O chocolate, Jell-O butterscotch pudding. Try them and you'll say, yes, Jell-O puddings are just like grandma's, only more so. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
J-E-L-L-O!
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston.
No, Don, not Jell-O. It's Grape Nuts Flakes this year. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, darn it. The Grapes Nuts Flakes program, starring Jack Benny.
No, not Grapes. Grape Nuts Flakes. What's the matter with you?
Oh, yes,
I'll get fired.
The Grape Nuts Flakes program, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, Rochester, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now we have a new star on our program tonight that I'd like all you listeners to meet. This new star is a favorite with millions of loyal and ardent fans all over America. In fact, this particular star is a morning star, a star that enjoys top billing on a coast-to-coast breakfast circuit. Ladies and gentlemen, I present Grape Nuts Flakes, the breakfast treat that has risen to stardom because of its delicious, distinctive appeal. Yes, friends, Grape Nuts Flakes today are America's fastest-growing cereal and have been America's fastest-growing cereal for the past 3 years. And why? Because of flavor. A flavor that's malty-rich, sweet as a nut, absolutely different from any other cereal in America. And that's because Grape Nuts Flakes are made a different way. They're a blend of two luscious grains instead of only one, sun-ripened wheat and malted barley. And they're toasted, golden brown and crisp, to bring out the rich goodness of each wholesome grain. So feature Grape Nuts Flakes at your breakfast table every morning. For a delicious and nourishing treat, ask for Grape Nuts Flakes in the big 12-ounce economy-size package.
was Pennsylvania Polka played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let us turn back the clock 1 hour and show you what happened on the way to the studio. Jack, in line with the Share Your Car campaign, volunteered to pick up the gang in his Maxwell and drive us all down to the first broadcast.
That's the least I could do.
Anyway, Jack called me and told me to be waiting in front of my house, as he and Rochester would be along just as soon as they had picked up that.
Oh, boy, it'll be great to get back on the air again.
Feel good, eh, boss?
You said it. I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle as I go riding merrily along. Oh, Lily Bell. Oh, Lily. Well, I'll be... Rochester, put down that banjo. You're driving the car. Put it down and grab hold of the steering wheel.
This is the wheel. I just put strings on it.
Just drive, will you? I got spurs that jingle. Gee, it sure feels good to be going back to work, eh, Mary?
Yeah, but it'll seem funny not broadcasting for Jell-O this year.
Well, it's not so much of a change. After all, it's the same sponsor, same station, same time.
Well, I hope we have some new material. I'm sick of all those jokes about your toupee.
Me too.
Then pull it up a little. You look like Veronica Lake.
Say, is that bad? I got spurs.
And another thing. You ought to be ashamed having that big sign on the back of the car.
What sign?
Coming soon. Jack Benny and George Washington slept here.
Well, that's my new picture.
Pardon me, boss, but shouldn't Miss Ann Sheridan's name be on that sign, too?
Well,
Mr. Benny and Washington were such friends, it'd be a shame to have anybody else there.
Mary, save those quips for the program, will you? Yes, sir. I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle.
I got spurs that jingle, jingle, jingle.
As I go riding merrily along.
As I go riding merrily along.
And they say... Uh-oh, slow up, Rochester, slow up.
What's the matter, boss?
Never mind, slow up. Duck down, Mary, duck down.
What for?
Duck down, duck down. pardon me, miss. I'm cooperating in the Share Your Car campaign. May I give you a lift to Hollywood?
Like I told you yesterday, no.
Okay. Drive on, Rochester. That's gratitude for you. Offer a girl... Rochester, take it easy. There's a red light up ahead.
It'll be green, red, and green again before we get to it.
Just take it easy, that's all. 35 miles an hour. That's the new speed limit.
Well, let's get a new motor and have a go at it.
Listen, Rochester, you're going to miss this little car when we're riding around in that buggy I bought. Hey, that reminds me, I've got to get a horse for that buggy.
A horse? Oh, then you gave up the idea of letting Dennis pull it.
Well, that was just a wild thought. Besides, if I ever hit him with a whip, his mother'd kill me. Hey, there's Don Wilson waiting for us. Hello, Don.
Hello, Jack. Mary.
Hello, Don.
Hop in, Mr. Wilson.
Well, hello, Rochester. Where'll I sit, Jack?
Right in the middle, or over we go.
Don't get cute, Rochester. This isn't a canoe.
Don, I'll bet you're a little nervous about going on the air for a new product.
Yeah, aren't you a little jittery?
No, no. Why, I'm just crazy about those good old Grape Nuts Flakes.
Don, that's Grape Nuts Flakes. Grape. Watch it. Turn here, Rochester. Dennis lives right up the street. I got spurs that jingle, jingle.
I got spurs that jingle, jingle.
As I go riding merrily.
As I go riding merrily.
They say, oh, ain't you glad.
Veronica Lake is waiting for you. Hurry up. Here's your half fasten your music.
Thanks, Mother.
And here's 10 cents. I'm sure Mr. Benny won't charge more than the bus. Goodbye.
Bye, Mother. Here I am, Mr. Benny. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Daddy. How are you?
Where'd you get the red hair, kid?
Well. Well, what are you waiting for, kid? Hop in the car.
I'm not moving one step until I find out if I get a raise this year.
You better get in this car, kid. Kenny Baker is in the tool chest. Now get in.
Yes, sir.
All right, Rochester, we got to pick up Mr. Harris now.
Well, Dennis, you all set for the first program?
I sure am. Oh, by the way, Mr. Benny, I shopped all over for a horse collar, but I couldn't find one to fit me.
Well, don't bother about it, kid. I'm getting a horse. I got spurs that jingle.
What's a horse got that I haven't got?
It's nothing against you, Dennis. I'm just getting a horse, that's all. Now, forget it. As I go around...
Gosh, and I cut holes in my straw hat so my ears could stick through.
Too bad. And they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single?
Get hot, Daddy.
And that song ain't so very far from wrong. Oh, Lily Bell.
Oh, Lily Bell.
Oh, Lily Bell.
Oh, Lily.
Rochester, don't sing while you're driving. Now turn left here and we'll pick up Mr. Harris. Darn it, I told him to be waiting on the corner here.
Isn't that Phil up ahead?
Where?
Right there, and he's pushing a baby carriage.
Oh, yeah. He's talking to a street cleaner.
That's the nurse. She's got a white uniform on.
Oh, yes. Gee, I'll be glad to see his baby. Hey, Phil! Phil!
Hiya, Jackson. Hello, everybody.
Oh, how are you, Phil? Hi. Oh, hi. Oh, come on.
Yeah, sir, well, get a load of that baby of yours.
Ain't she a Lulu, Jackson?
Well, I'll be darned.
Let me hold her, will you, Phil?
Here you are, Mary.
There now. Oh, isn't she a darling?
Say, Phil, are those the little booties I sent the baby?
No, they didn't fit, Jackson. You must have had awful big feet when you were a kid.
Hey, I was a rugged little rascal.
Oh, God, Jack. Look at those blonde curls.
I used to have curls that made those look like a nickel. Way down to my ankles.
Your arms are way down to your ankles, too.
Never mind.
Jack lived on peanuts till he was 18.
That's so.
Let me hold the baby, Mary.
Here you are, Don.
Careful now, careful.
Don't worry, nurse. Coochie, coochie, coochie!
Gee, she's always laughing. Let me hold her, Don.
Okay, Jack, here you are.
I got her. Coochie, coochie, coochie! Now, don't be afraid. It's Uncle Jackie. Remember, I gave you those booties. Here, Phil, you better take her. Here, take the kid.
Okay.
Well, come on, let's get going.
Ah, isn't she cute?
Coochie, coochie, coochie.
Dennis, put down the nurse. What's the matter with you? Come on, Phil. Leave your baby with the nurse and let's get to the studio.
Right with you, Jackson. Oh, nurse, I'll be home about 9:30, so be sure and have my bottle ready.
Your bottle?
Gin through a nipple. It's out of this world, Jackson.
I must try it sometime. Come on, Rochester, let's go. Lock
watch the traffic now. Say, Jackson, ain't Alice and me got the cutest kid you ever seen?
Sure, cute.
Yeah, Phil, I must congratulate you. That baby of yours is a beautiful child.
And what a disposition, always laughing.
Not while I was holding her, she wasn't laughing. Well, what are you so mad about? You were holding the kid and she cried a little. That's all that happened. Oh, yeah? Drive on, Rochester, drive on. We've only got a half an hour before the broadcast.
Hope you brought your pass, Jack. You know, NBC has to be pretty strict for the duration.
Oh, all that red tape is silly. Come on, fellas, follow me.
Just a minute there. Gotta have passes, you know. Gotta have passes.
Passes?
Company regulations. I don't make the rules, you know.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Now, look, officer.
Here's my pass.
Here's mine. Smiling Phil Harris, the Daily Double.
See you later, Mr. Benny.
Okay, kid. Now, look, officer, I left my pass at home. Come on, Mary.
Oh, no, you don't. One more step and I'll grill you.
Yipe, he's got a gun. Now, officer, I'm Benny, Jack Benny. Now, get Mr. Swallow, the manager, on the phone. He'll identify
me. Mr. Swallow isn't in. Keep your hands up, you saboteur.
Me, a saboteur? Me?
What's that package you're hiding under your coat?
That's my lunch, a deviled egg sandwich and a banana. You want a bite? Mary, tell this guy who I am.
I'm Mary Livingston, and he's Jack Benny. Here's my pass.
You satisfied? Can we go in now?
No hard feelings. Rules, rules, you know.
You can put that revolver back in your holster.
Okay, okay. Doggone. That's the third toe today.
Come on, Mary. Let's go inside. All that trouble for nothing. Oh, wait a minute, Mary. Here's the fan mail department. I might as well pick up my bundle. After all, I've been off the air 4 months, you know.
Gosh, look at all the mail here. Fibber McGee, Aldridge family, Bing Crosby.
We all get it. Oh, miss, is there any mail here for me, Jack Benny?
Like I told you yesterday, no.
I knew I'd seen her someplace before. Can't understand it. What's happened to my fans? Why don't they write?
Maybe they think you're a military secret.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, hello there, Mr. Benny. How's my favorite comedian today?
Fine, fine. Oh, Mary, I'd like to have you meet Robert Welch. Mr. Welch is the new producer of our program.
I'm glad to know you, Mr. Welch.
I kiss your hand, madame.
Oh, fine.
Oh, pardon me, Mr. Welch. Miss Livingston's wristwatch seems to have got caught in your teeth. Thanks. Now, Mr. Welch, we're in a hurry and I'm nervous today. And what studio are we broadcasting from today?
Well, now, let me see. Say, that's important, isn't it?
Well, it's... It certainly is. Now, you're the new producer. Where are we broadcasting from?
Oh, let me see. I'm not getting off a very good start, am I?
No, you're not. Now, check on it. Check on it, for heaven's sake.
Okay, check, 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 check.
Gosh, he's so nervous, you know. Oh, here's Wilson. Say, Don, did you find out what studio we're broadcasting from?
Yes, Jack. We're in Studio B across the hall here.
Good. Let's go in and get our rehearsal started.
Well, I'm afraid we'll have to wait a few minutes, Jack. There's a program rehearsing in there now.
What program?
The Heartaches of Sally Sutton.
Oh, the Heartaches of Sally Sutton? Say, that's one of my favorites.
That program is strictly for housewives.
Oh, it is, eh? Well, Rochester and I listen to it every morning while we're doing the dishes.
And their soap doesn't give you the dishpan hands either. Come on, let's go inside and watch them, huh? Oh, boy, I can hardly wait to see Rochester's face tomorrow morning when I tell him everything before it happens.
Shh, quiet.
And so, chin up, but with tears in the Sally Sutton faces the bitter realization that her once happy home is about to be broken up.
That husband of hers has really been playing around, the rat.
Acting on the advice of old Judge Hooper, who lives in the little house at the bend of the road, Sally is determined to have a showdown with her husband, Paul.
And Rochester thinks they're going to smooth things out.
Jack, quiet.
It is midnight, and Sally, chin up, but with tear-dimmed eyes, is awaiting Paul's arrival.
Ah, good evening, sweetheart. Am I late for dinner?
Oh, Paul, how can you call me sweetheart when your mind is on another?
Then you.
Yes, Paul, I know. I found out all about you and that welder at Lockheed.
If you're referring to Nancy Randolph, there's absolutely nothing between us.
Oh, Paul, lies, lies.
I swear it. I've never even seen her in a dress.
Dress or overalls, that Nancy is a siren.
No use, Paul. This is the end.
You mean?
Yes, a divorce.
A divorce?
A divorce?
Jack, for heaven's sake.
Oh, Paul, I've forgiven you time after time. First it was that cigarette girl, then that telephone operator, then that model.
And don't forget that usherette.
And then that usherette. I tell you, Paul, a divorce is our only solution.
Very well, my dear. But I'm afraid that our son, Wilbur, must go with me, his father.
No, no, not that.
No, no, Paul. Won't you take a 10-year-old child away from his mother? You can't do it. I'll fight for him.
Oh, boy, wait till tomorrow morning. I'm going to bet Rochester $5 they're going to get a divorce. It's a cinch.
Please, Paul. He's my child as well as yours.
All right, Sally. We'll let the boy decide. Oh, Wilbur! Wilbur, will you please come in here?
Yes, your father and I would like to talk to you.
Mother, father, did you call me?
Dennis! Dennis Day, what are you doing on this program?
Well, I gotta make some money someplace.
I don't care, you're working for me. Now listen, kid.
Mr. Benny, please, we're rehearsing.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we're on the air in a few minutes, and I've gotta have Dennis. It's our first broadcast. I gotta have the studio.
Oh,
too.
All right, you saboteur.
This is a deviled egg sandwich and a banana. Now, get out of here and let us rehearse. Now, see here, Dennis.
Yes, Father.
I'm not your father. That's the other guy. Now, let's get going around here. Dennis, run over your song. We got to rehearse that.
How can he sing without an orchestra?
Oh, for Phil, where are the orchestra boys?
I don't know. Oh, yes, I put them in Deacon's warehouse for the summer.
Well, get them out. Get them out.
Well, Jack, don't you think I better rehearse the commercial once? After all, this is a new product.
Okay, Don, yeah, rehearse it. We'll be on the air right away.
Ladies and gentlemen, next time you go to your neighborhood grocer, why not ask for America's most distinctive flake cereal? Toasty, brown, sweet as a nut. Grapes, not flakes.
No, no, Don, not grapes. That's grape, grape.
Oh, darn it. You will find that grape nut flakes are a thrifty buy in the big 12-ounce economy-size package. So be sure to look for the big red letters on the box.
Don, that was Jell-O. These are white letters, white.
So be sure to look for the big white letters on the box.
They're little white letters, little, Don.
So be sure to look for the little white letters on the box. They spell grape nut flakes.
There you go again.
Oh, what's the matter with you?
Here they are, Jackson. Here's the boys. Well, it's about time.
Hold everything there. You gotta have passes, you know. Gotta have passes.
Oh, get out of here. Now, Don, watch that commercial. It's all right to say grapes, nuts, flakes now. But for heaven's sake, don't make that mistake when we're on the air or our sponsor will have a fit.
Holy smoke, does our sponsor have fits?
No, no. Pay attention to the conversation, kid. All right, run over your song. Give him an introduction, Phil.
Okay, hit it, boy.
I'm a wreck already. Only the first broadcast.
Be careful, it's my heart. It's not my watch you're holding, it's my heart. It's not scrapbook I lent you that you never returned. Remember, it's my heart, the heart with which so willingly I part. It's yours to take, to keep or break, but please, before you start, be careful. It's my heart.
Stand by. We're on the air in 60 seconds.
Oh, my goodness. Hurry it up, Dennis. Finish your song. We're going on the air.
Remember, it's my heart, the heart with which so willingly I part. It's yours to take, to keep or break, but please, before you start, be careful. It's my
heart. Good, 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 swell. That song will be okay, Dennis. Now, Mary, pass out the scripts, will you? We'll be on the air in about 20 seconds. Grab your scripts, everybody.
We haven't got any scripts.
Your writers didn't bring them in yet.
What? No scripts?
Stand by, everybody. 15 seconds.
Oh, for Pete's sake, no scripts.
What are we going to do, Jack?
I don't know. I'll have to ad-lib something. I'll tell you what. I'll start by saying, hello, everybody. This is Jack Benny. You know, folks, a funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio.
You leave Phil's baby out of this.
I didn't mean that. Darn, my writers, a fine spot they put me in. Here I am, chin up, but with tear-dimmed eyes. And no script. They've had all summer to get this program written. One little program.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly what happened before we were supposed to go on the air tonight. And now, for tonight's show...
Don, how can we do a show without a script?
You gotta have jokes, you know. You gotta have jokes.
Oh, what's the use? Play something, Phil.
You know, friends, most of us these days are faced with the problem of getting more mileage out of our tires. But homemakers face a different mileage problem. That's how to get more mileage from food, by getting more nourishment per spoonful. Well, here's a suggestion for you from the Government Nutrition Program. Eat more of the vital protective foods that you should have every day. That includes whole grain cereals. Cereals such as delicious, toasty brown Grape Nuts Flakes. For Grape Nuts Flakes are a whole grain cereal, so they supply important whole grain food values, including iron, niacin, and vitamin B1. Extra vitamin B1. For Grape Nuts Flakes bring you even more B1 to the ounce than you find in the whole grain itself. And honestly, there isn't a more delicious way to get this grand all-around nourishment. For Grape Nuts Flakes are malty-rich, sweet as a nut, crammed full of wide-awake, flavorful goodness. Remember, you owe it to yourself to start every morning with the proper nourishment. And you can do that and enjoy it with good-to-eat, nourishing Grape Nuts Flakes.
Oh, what a wreck I am. Tell you, it isn't worth it. Oh, gosh, that was the most humiliating experience I've ever had.
How'd the show go, boss?
We didn't have a show, Rochester. No script.
Were your writers over-martinied again?
No, they just didn't work. Oh, by the way, Rochester, remind me to tune in on the heartaches of Sally Sutton tomorrow morning. I have a hunch Paul and Sally are going to split up.
No, boss, they're in love. Mr. Sutton might play around a little bit, but they ain't never going to separate.
Oh, no? Well, I'll tell you what, Rochester. I'll just bet you $5 they're going to get a divorce. And they're going to fight over the kid, too.
Oh, Jack, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Well, he thinks he knows everything. This will be a lesson to him.
The Jack Benny program is written by Bill Morrow and Ed Beloy.
Thank you for listening to and showing your support for my podcast. If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe, wish you well, and as always, peace.